Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Taco Bueno in Arlington, 5748 Southwest Green Oaks. As you can tell, we need you out here to make sure everyone knows when to start clapping. All right, here's the cue. When I say we're live at Taco Bueno, that's when you clap. Let's try this one more time.
Okay, all right.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live from Taco Bueno. In Arlington. Hey, and if you think he can figure that out on the first try, come on down. If you're thinking I can't figure it out until the second try, well, you'll still fit right in here with this motley crew. 5748 Southwest Green Oaks, Taco Bueno in Arlington. Still got giveaways happening. Delicious Taco Bueno food that we need to get to some to Alec and, of course, us. And right now, we do Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because 877-881-1053. Franklin, Franklin, injury attorney, text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. Corey, I'm concerned that a lot of these are going to be like Cowboys win because the Green Bay bus crashes or something.
Oh, no.
Really terrible.
We don't wish anything like that upon
no,
anybody.
No, I don't want it to happen. I'm right. worried
yeah.
that that's what people are going to text in, that that's the only way that the Cowboys can win this game. I came up with another way.
All right.
Cowboys win because the Packers destroy themselves with penalties. Now, you go back to that Cleveland game. The Packers were flagged 14 times. Take a step back to the Washington game before that, and I know they won that game, but they were flagged 10 times against Washington. So just in the last two games, 24 flags. And look at the very last game that they had. Final possession of the first half. They had driven from their own 12-yard to the Cleveland 38. Then what happens? You have a false start for the Packers. Then you give up a sack. Then you have an illegal block in the back. And then another sack. And then the half's over. And you don't score any more points. And it's easy to look back at that now and think about how vital that could have been to maybe get an earlier start on putting that game away. So I think you can win if the Packers continue their trend of really shooting themselves in the foot with penalties.
Cowboys win. And if they do, Kevin, you get a free taco the day after a Cowboys win here at Taco Bueno, the official taco of the Dallas Cowboys. So don't forget that if the Cowboys do win. I say Cowboys win because they the Packers stupidly try to establish the run.
And I would love that.
They're like, hey, we're going to run the football. And the Cowboys are like, you're not really. And then they never change their mind and say, we have to start throwing the ball. It would not make any sense, Kevin, to try to establish the run against the Cowboys right now. You're just going to keep the game close for yourself, and that's unnecessary if you're playing against them.
Until they can prove they can cover anybody.
Yeah, so if they, I think that Matt LaFleur really does want to run the ball. Josh Jacobs has had a little lack of success where they wanted to because they've been throwing the ball a lot too, and so I think that he's going to be like, I'm going to do this a lot, and it's going to work into the Cowboys' favor. And if now, here's the other thing, though, Kevin. We need a halftime swing something bad. This team, and this goes back for years now, does not get the advantage of the halftime swing.
Yeah.
They can't score before, they can't execute the score before the first half. They even had time. They had plenty of opportunities in the last two games to do that and then do the same thing, having the ball coming out of the second half, and they have not capitalized on that. So I think it's going to be because the Packers are like, well, we're going to run the ball early in the game, and then halftime adjustments turn it over a different way. But if they stupidly try to just establish the run the entire game, the Cowboys benefit.
Now, there is some...
Because that shortens the game for the Cowboys, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're in the inferior team, that's what you, in theory, that's what you want to do, is shorten the game. Some daily fantasy-based ways of saying this from the 214. The Cowboys win because underdog says plus 257 on that. Okay.
Okay.
By the way, that's a new feature, is you can do that on underdog by
making plays on games
and the teams. And then from the 214, I'm afraid this might be right. Cowboys win because they win the turnover battle 5-1. This does kind of feel like a game in which you need to win the turnover battle by multiple turnovers if you're going to win the game. And then from the 817, the Cowboys could win if Jordan Love had them on the money line and threw the game. Now, hopefully he makes far more money from playing NFL football than that, but you never know. Alec, do you have a Cowboys win because we might need them?
Cowboys win because they do what they finally said they have the ability to do after they traded Micah Parsons. They scheme up pressure, and they finally get home, and they finally get to the quarterback, because I heard you guys talking about it a little bit throughout the week, and you saw it in the loss to Cleveland for Green Bay. That
yes.
Cleveland obviously has one of the, if not the best defense in the NFL, so you got to give them credit there, but when they were able to force pressure towards Jordan Love, they scored less points. It's pretty simple math, and Jordan Love looked like he was off his schedule a little bit. His timing was off, and you know, we joke that sometimes Jordan Love does like being off schedule, but that was more of a last year thing for him. This year, he looks like he likes to plant his feet. He likes to have his rhythm. He likes to have his progressions and get the ball out of his hands on his own accord. If you're able to get home and just get him off schedule, you don't even have to take him to the ground every single time you get pressure. If you can just get him off schedule, then you have a chance to mitigate their scoring.
Your best way to do that is with, obviously, with your two best defensive players, and that's in the middle right now.
Yeah.
And that's their weakest area, I think, for the Packers offense. If you watch that game against Washington, they attacked that middle part of the Packers offense, and they had some luck there, or some good production in that area. Kenny Clark, you know, he wants to ball out, right? He wants to be like, hey, no, this was definitely the Kenny Clark trade. That's how he wants to see it. And Osa's going to be there for an opportunity too. And Kevin, one of the things that this defense really wants to do a lot more of and be good at is twists and stunts.
Right.
Games that you can do in the middle of the defense. As Raku's kind of struggled getting out on the edge and doing a lot of work there, I wonder if they can play some games with that and get some more pressure there.
Now, I'm intrigued by this answer from the 214. Cowboys win because you fall asleep before the game starts. Does that mean it's all a dream that the Cowboys won? And then one more ridiculous one.
Is dream scenario always a sellout to you whenever it's like a TV show or movie or something? Or are you always like, no, that was a good dream sequence?
It depends, because like at the end of the Bob Newhart show, if it's like a comedy, I can live with that. But
was Atlanta that way? Was it always a dream for him?
Man, I watched all of Atlanta and I understood a lot of it, but I felt like there was a lot I did not understand. But I still liked it. From the 469, Cowboys win because it's revealed Micah was traded to Green Bay to throw the game for Dallas, and Jerry and Micah were on the same page the whole time, like a WWE plot twist.
I
love it. Cowboys
ESPN
win.
Is reporting more on WWE.
Fact.
So.
Dallas wins because they draw 8+ pass interference penalties. Man, I would
do it.
I would hope you win
every
that game.
Time. Every just throw deep to George Pickens and see if you can get a flag. It doesn't have to be a catch.
Now, nothing revolutionary here, but I've got numbers to really hammer this home. The Cowboys lose because, well, they still can't cover. Now, think about this. Going back to the Bears game. 22 of Caleb Williams' 28 passing attempts, his wide receivers had 3 yards or more of separation. That is a massive number in the NFL, and it was 22 out of 28 times. All 4 of his touchdowns were on targets where the receivers had more than 3 yards of separation. Now consider this. The last 2 weeks alone, the Cowboys have given up 12 passing plays of 25 yards or more.
Okay.
That's 6 a game. Last year, they gave up 1.9 per game.
Okay.
We've essentially jumped from 2 of those plays a game to 6.
Yeah, that's definitely a drastic change there for sure.
So not hard to believe that I think that is the reason they could lose.
I think the Cowboys lose because they can't find a second receiving option. Now, when I say that, you're like, yeah, of course, who's going to be the second receiving option behind Pickens? No, that's not what I'm saying. Who's the second receiving option behind Jake Ferguson? Because the way that the people are playing against the Cowboys and the way the one of the best ways to beat Dak Prescott is just to play lots of too high and force him to pick something underneath. Because Dak Prescott does not love to go deep whenever he has too high safeties. He loves whenever he sees single high. But a lot of these times they say, we're going to shell coverage. And Dak, good luck. You cannot complete enough passes. Your offensive line can't hold up enough. Y'all can't be disciplined enough underneath to drive 80 yards down the field and score a touchdown over and over and over. We all want big plays. We're not going to let it happen. So somebody, Jake Ferguson was the benefactor last week. Because the Bears said exactly that, and Jake Ferguson had, what, 13 targets and 11
13 catches.
13 catches on 15 targets. And so, like, that's what Dak's favorite option is underneath. If teams are going to do that, Schottenheimer's got to come up with different plans for Dak to get other receivers involved in the game. And so Pickens has to be the better receiving option than Ferguson as the second receiver. But also Tolbert has to do something. Flannoy and I would love to see if they can get Turpin more space and more opportunities to have big plays.
I would be inclined to agree with that as well. From the 940, Cowboys lose because they have Jerry Jones as the GM and are not good. From the 254,
that is true.
Cowboys lose because the offensive line will fold like a fresh towel. From the 254, Cowboys lose because Micah goes crazy and gets three sacks. You know, I know we probably haven't talked about that specific aspect of it as much as other media entities this week, but it is early in the season, and this does feel like a game that Micah cares like disproportionately about and really wants to make the Cowboys pay. Now, I don't know if that will happen when the game's still on the line or if it would happen like when the game is out of hand. Because that is where he really does excel at picking up a lot of stuff when the game's over.
Oh, he'll definitely hunt one late if he doesn't have one already. I think the terrifying thing is if he has two early in the game, he's going to start believing, man, I can get whenever I want to.
Yeah,
and that could turn into a big snowball effect because of what he would like to do at the end of the game, and that's pick up extras.
Alec, do you have a specific thing you want to throw out there for why the Cowboys will lose this game?
Cowboys lose because, gentlemen, they rely too much on the run game if it is not even working. So if you look at some of the metrics through just a few games for the Packers, that defense is really good. And even after trading away Kenny Clark, they're still among the league's best in stopping the run and yards per carry allowed. They're third in team total defense. They're really, really good defensively. And I feel like the Cowboys, that is, are really confident offensively that they can run the ball. So maybe they rely on it a little bit too much when it matters too much, and they're not moving the ball in the way that they think. They get forced into passing situations that are too obvious, and that secondary has been playing pretty well for Green Bay as well. They don't have the household names that you're going to mention when it comes to corners and safeties, but that defense seems to know what they're doing at least, which we can't really say here in Dallas through three games. They communicate, they execute, they do all the words that we wish we could say here. Everything looks clean. If they run the ball too much and they think it's going to break through one of these times, right, and they're forced into third and long passing situations, they have no shot.
Kevin, two notes from the Brian Schottenheimer press conference today. One, regarding Jadeveon Clowney and how much he'll play. I hope a lot. He's had a good week of practice. He's very excited. We'll be smart with him. So that's an update on that. And then, would you stop everything if Roger Staubach walked into the room?
Yeah. Did he do that in the press conference?
He walked into the press conference. Brian Schottenheimer.
He didn't walk into the Taco Bell. No, like, I'm sorry. God. People were looking around, but you know, we are in Arlington, so 5748 Southwest Green Oaks, but I guess he was probably in
Roger,
Frisco.
You're always welcome.
Yeah, if you want to come out welcome. To the Taco Bueno. We got plenty of people here. They'll buy a party box.
Schottenheimer stopped down and said, oh, my goodness gracious, I will stop what I'm doing for this. And Roger said, this is my favorite coach. And then Shotty said, "You look good." And he said, "I can still throw. I'm such a Cowboys fan. I'm for you." He said, "I appreciate that. It's great seeing you." He said, "I still love the Cowboys. It's amazing how when I sit down and watch the Cowboys game, I feel like I'm out there. Right now we're okay, but we're going to get better. No doubt, that's the plan." So there you go. That's Roger Staubach in your face. You don't believe him. I don't think you believe in Roger Staubach.
I do.
That's disappointing, Kevin.
What do you mean? I definitely do.
He was the first ever guest on the KNC Masterpiece. He essentially got us a radio show.
What makes you say? Actually, that probably
that is true. Yeah, that's true.
Because at first, if you didn't know this about us, we were told that we were going to get 3 tryout shows. And then after the first show, they called us into the office. And I thought for sure it was because we were getting fired, because they were like, "This show sucks.
We hadn't even been hired yet."
Yeah, and so they were like, "We only needed 1 week to make the decision," mm-hmm. which really kind of hurt my feelings. But luckily, that was not the case.
Their big question
whatsoever:
how did you get Roger Staubach on the show?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So, yes, thank you, Roger, for getting this
done. He still believes, Kevin.
Hey, I still believe he would be an upgrade at quarterback in New Orleans. So if he wants to go down that route, he could. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to move into the expressway. We got some NFL overreaction or reality for you, but also it's time for the Combo Platter State Fair Edition. Give us a sports opinion, and then what is your all-time favorite experience, food, or ride at the State Fair, which opens today? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
Williams in the gun with the back on his right. That's Swift. Back and sets, and no pressure. Deep down the left side, blown coverage. Easy pitch and catch to Romo Dunze. Touchdown, Chicago, and they have the first lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Taco Bueno in Arlington. We're off of Southwest Green Oaks, and I'm going to go to read this text because the person who texted this in, we just saw them at the Taco Bueno from the 903. My girlfriend, who's from Australia, put ketchup on a Fletcher corny dog, and I yelled, "What are you doing?" But still, we're together a year later. Is it mustard only in terms of condiment that you think should go on the corn dog? That will come up because it's time for the Combo Platter, 877-881-1053. Give us a sports opinion. And then, what is your all-time favorite experience, food, or ride at the State Fair? I would like to start, if that's okay with you guys.
All right.
I suppose.
Thank you. My sports opinion is, I know some people think there's going to be changes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For the Rangers like Adolis, but my sports opinion is I think this team could look a lot different. Like,
I thought you were going to say a lot different. Like the same one we just saw.
I think it could be a lot different, and your favorite players who might have been expensive and you bought a jersey of them, perhaps they will not be on this team.
Jacob DeGrom?
Anymore as well. But that, besides pitchers. Pitchers are fine. Don't worry about that. And then my favorite thing from the State Fair is something that we tried in the studio. It was the cotton candy bacon on a stick. I didn't know that was a thing. I probably would not have just bought it of my own accord. But when they brought it into the studio, I tried it. It was freaking amazing. Mm-hmm. And that defeated fried Oreos and chicken fried bacon for me as the number one attraction at the fair.
Dude, the chicken fried bacon, I remember everybody lost their minds.
Yes.
A, it's bacon, all right? Everybody loves bacon.
Sure.
And then chicken fried. You know, everybody loves that too. Like, it's delicious. So That's a good one. Did you ever have the fried butter when it was out there?
I don't think I did.
My favorite line from the David Letterman show was they were the top 10 things you'll hear said at the Texas State Fair. And he said, fried butter, will my heart explode? And I laughed really hard about that for quite some time.
That is a fair question. All right. Who would like to go next? You want me to go to the fan text,
or to
you guys? Unless from the 858? Cowboys will win 4 games this year. My favorite thing from the state fair was the surf and turf stuffed potato. Oh, from a few years ago. Man, this next one is a spicy opinion that I don't know if people are going to agree with. From the 817, 2026 Rangers will win the World Series, and their favorite thing about the state fair is being in a vehicle that is leaving it. Whoa!
Wow. Why would you say that? Why were you there in the first place? To not enjoy it? You went to not – look, I understand going on a Saturday or a Sunday – is very difficult because everybody goes on the weekend. My son was like, hey, we're going to go on a weekend, Dad. And I was like, I'd rather take you out of school and go share an experience with you because it's lighter during the morning time. We used to go opening day for the first 20 people to get in.
Whoa.
Fresh grease, you know, for one. That's one thing you're always looking forward to. And it was a little lighter crowd at the time. So, but we haven't been able to do that in a while. So that's a bit of a struggle. But I don't – why'd you go if you're enjoying leaving so much?
I need to ask my mom what was the final outcome for this, but I know for a while she was burnt out on the state fair because we played some game. She gave the person running the game a 20, and they only gave her change for a 10, and she was like, I gave you a 20, and the guy was like, I don't even have any 20s. And she goes, let me see, in the money thing, and there was a 20 right there. She goes, that was mine. And he goes, no, that was already there.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, don't they have the game cards now?
Yeah, we've modernized many aspects of of the fair, so I don't actually know how that turned out.
Kevin, my sports opinion is cancer sucks.
Okay.
Defensive coordinator for the Patriots, Terrell Williams, has been diagnosed with prostate cancer, according to Mike Vrabel.
Mm.
And he's in the process of determining a treatment plan. And Vrabel said, we want to send our regards and let everybody know publicly that that's what he's dealing with right now. And that sucks, man.
We had
the conversation this morning. I liked what Jerry said, that it does feel like there's some more positivity in that there was a lot of times whenever we were younger, that word pops up and it's just like, oh my gosh, we'll never see that person again.
Yeah.
And it seems like we've found more different areas where we can have success there, and hopefully we can have more success down the road there. So that's my sports opinion.
Oh, we just had a Saints fan walk in, and I think he knows our general opinion about the team. I'm sorry that your team is worse somehow than our team.
Oh my gosh. My favorite experience was, Kevin, for the longest time, there was over by the Swans, you know, the little lake area where the Swans are, there was a little stand that it cost 2 coupons less for beer. And so entire state fair, it cost 2 coupons more for beer than it did at that little tent. It is no longer there, though. But me and my friends used to go over to that one specifically and just spend the day there wasting all of our coupons on cheaper beer. But then the thing now for me, as I've become a father, I enjoy watching the kids ride the rides. I almost lost Avery on the pirate ship once when he started to float, and I had to grab him. And they were like, because he was just tall enough. And you said that was bad dadding on my part because he was just barely tall. I said, stand on your tiptoes.
I don't know, man. If you have to, like, really check the measurement to get into that ride, I think maybe you should wait.
But I had to catch him. But I really do. Lucy loves, you know, going to the ride section, and they all just really have a good time together. And that's one of my favorite things. I don't like riding rides. It's just not my thing. But they do, and I'm all about watching them have a good time.
Now, I'm going to assume that Derek Holland's favorite part of the fair is the dunk tank, so he can just fire those fastballs in there, because I know his sports opinion already. His sports opinion is that his lowly Browns are going to shock the world again this weekend and defeat the Lions. And I said, oh, neat. That's not going to happen. At which point he said, oh, but it will. And when it does, I'm going to buy you a Browns jersey that says number one fan, and you have to wear it on the air. And I agreed. And so
you're going to wear a number one fan of the Browns shirt?
If they beat the Lions, that is the agreement that I made. Maybe like Mike thinks it will help motivate the Cowboys, like when he wore all that Chiefs gear to training camp.
I will say this. The Browns have a fantastic defense, and I think they can give a hard time to the Lions. But the Lions are right now, because of the way that opening game started for them, getting torched by Green Bay like that, I think they've like made their mind up. Dan Campbell's one of those motivator guys, you know, and very big on attitude. St. Brown is very in the same mindset as his head coach. And across the board, there's a lot of guys that have that same vibe about them. So they're not one of those teams that I just see that's going to take anything like this lightly, no matter who the opponent is.
Man, this is a spicy one from the 214. Our defensive coordinator won't last half a year before he's fired. That would be a first for the Dallas Cowboys to fire a defensive coordinator in season. And then the best experience ever at the State Fair was when they were in sixth grade. Destiny's Child and Christina Aguilera both performed there. Got to see them both.
What?
Right after one another.
Destiny's Child and Christina Aguilera?
Woo!
When was this?
Whenever that person was in sixth grade.
In sixth grade.
To be fair, I don't know how old they are.
How old are you now, person?
Okay. Man. That feels like a dicey question to walk around doing.
What?
How old are you now? Like that, I don't know. That feels like maybe not the way to go. From the 956, Fletcher's Corny Dog is their favorite. And then their opinion, Corey Seager will be opening day first baseman for the Rangers. Marcus Semien at third base with Josh Smith at short and Cody Freeman at second base. Man, that would be a wild reimagining of the infield, but a fascinating one.
It looks like that was, by the way, in September 30th, 2000, that they performed at the State Fair. I was able to pull that up pretty quickly.
So that means that person's probably about 36 now, give or take.
I know we have a much larger conversation about this. The move to first base, though, regarding that sports opinion right there for Corey Seager, they have not ever brought this up to him. This has never been something.
Correct.
This has been Mike mentioned it on radio, and the rest of the world, I think, decided, hey, that is a great idea. He had a really good season at shortstop this year. Like, he was a very good shortstop for this team. Him at first base, again, has not been discussed. They have to breach that conversation with him first. If he was to say, no, I'll never do that, do you make a decision one way or another regarding that? Do you say, well, then it's time to move on from this? Or do you say, well, I guess we're just stuck and have to have him at shortstop for his entire career?
So the issue with that is it's not so easy as we have to move on because you have so much money sunk into him. You'd have had to have a pre-set up deal for that. I'll tell you right now, I think it's more likely that Corey Seager gets traded than it plays first base next year.
Okay.
And so, like, that's just for next year. As we get further on, maybe he could move over there. I could see that. Man, a couple of these are pretty wild. From the 817, we're going to re-sign my guy El Bombi because he owns Houston. Just for the record, he's still under contract for one more year. But, you know.
So you have to extend him.
Yeah, I would be really surprised if he was on the team next year. And their favorite part of the State Fair is walking around trying to win something for a hot girl.
Which hot girl?
I don't
know. Just any random hot, like you went. My son has decided. My middle son has decided he's going to go to the State Fair, and his plan is to ask every girl for their number until he gets one that he likes. Alex says, I like
it. Hold on, wait. You said until he gets one that he likes.
Yeah.
Does that mean he'll get a couple numbers from girls that he doesn't like that are going to be excited, and he's going to be like, pass?
He's partially convinced that he's not going to get any numbers. He's like, I'm not attractive. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, how many times?
Aww.
Yeah, he's one of those that, like, he's just crapping on himself sometimes. But this is his plan. And he was like, I said, what if you get a number early? And he was like, well, then I'll ask more, and then I'll pick between them.
Man, I would love this even more if he really kind of stepped in.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the social experiment part of it and told every girl that he was asking every
girl. I'm going to ask her, by the way.
That he saw, and he was like, yes, I'm asking every woman here at the State Fair. I would be...
Is this going to work?
Yeah, I would be interested to see. Yeah, from the 6-8-2. Cowboys will finish with a bottom five defense, and their favorite thing, look, this is this person, not me. Their favorite thing at the State Fair is a corny dog dip with the tears of UT fans that just lost to OU.
Oh.
Woo!
Boomer Sooner.
Icy.
Okay, so regarding the question you asked a few minutes ago, when I was a kid, ketchup on the corn dog was the thing because my palate was not grown up enough yet.
Is ketchup a more childish condiment?
I feel like it is. It's the easier.
Oh, yeah, man. There's so many people who are like, oh. Yeah. Oh, except for one person's like, no. And he won something.
It's our way of hating tomatoes, but also being like, ketchup is great, even though it's tomato. But then I got older and I tried mustard on it, and I was like, this is the way that it's supposed to be. So I think that is like a lot of kids start out with ketchup, and then mustard becomes the option later on. And maybe that's the same way for Australians.
Man, I like the idea that you're like, I've matured mustard.
Please. He says thumbs down mustard.
Okay.
Okay. It's all right. You like mustard if you want. Red, yellow, doesn't matter.
Yeah. There's red mustard?
Well, no, there's red ketchup.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
All right, Alec. It is State Fair combo platter. Can you give us a sports opinion? And then your favorite part ever about the State Fair.
Sports opinion. Gentlemen. I hate to break it to any of the purists and counting number fans. My AL MVP is the big dumper.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
right. You are correct, Alec.
I don't know. Well, I do know, but like, there's some people that are so extremely opinionated on it that there's no way in the world that he should win this. But we talked about it, I think, last week, Kevin, when you asked us about it. And I said, when you start getting into the never before seen territory conversation, I don't care about the counting numbers at that point. I care about the job that he is doing at his position, which is the most taxing in the sport. He's catching a lot of the games and he's stamping his name in those games that he's catching to one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. So it's not just the stuff, it's not just the 60 home runs, it's not just his prowess at the plate, it's the fact that he's doing quite literally everything to help keep this team relevant, and I think that matters to me. It really does.
And just for the record, Alec, it was probably because 60 is such a magical number for home runs in baseball. You have finally seen some spots where the odds have shifted into Cal Raleigh's favor before these final three games.
And this is the one time that I hope voter fatigue comes into play. I usually advocate against it. I say the best player wins every time. This is one time where I'm like, it's cool to see a catcher getting all these accolades in 2025 because it feels like they're slowly being phased out of relevancy just in baseball in general. So he's my AL MVP. And then my favorite part about the Texas State Fair, I'm a big fan of any, whether it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic, any of the crazy beverages that they have. Just any of the stuff that you see with all kinds of candy, you know, sticking out and the
corn dog beer with the mustard on the rim of the glass. It was actually better than I thought it was going to be.
Stuff like that. Anything that just really is eye popping that's in a cup of some sort. That's what I really like. That is what I like. Any of the frozen drinks, any of the frozen desserts, like the shakes and whatnot, give me that. Like I see they have something called the Yabba Dabba Doo Dirty Sprite this year.
Oh.
Which just sounds amazing, and it's in, like, a boot-shaped cup. Like, any of that wacky stuff that, like, the cup is cool enough that you want to take home, give me that.
Interesting.
The Dirty Sprite.
Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, it refers to a Dirty Sprite. Drink with a tropical twist. Oh, is this the one that they have the Pop Rocks in them? Oh. Alec, is that the one with Pop Rocks? Because that is that's crack for you, basically.
Yeah, there's a bunch of candy, it says, in there. I do see some Fruity Pebbles make an appearance in there
From the 2-1-4, Cooper Flagg will win Rookie of the Year, and the Mavericks will win the Western Conference. Woo! Favorite memory, they had 1 year, somehow their dad worked at a vendor booth and had unlimited coupons. Now, let me ask you just a follow-up question to this. He worked at a vendor booth and had unlimited coupons. Do you think he really had unlimited coupons, or do you think he was like, these coupons are mine now? That maybe didn't, like, really, really belong to him?
So you can carry over coupons.
Like salary cap space?
From year to year, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, if you have any left over, you can use them the next year, is what I've always been told, and I've done that before.
Should that be our first question to Steven on Monday?
Do you have any carryover coupons?
Yeah,
from the last
did
few
you
years
know that
state
much
fair?
Like salary cap space, you can carry over state fair coupons?
I like that, actually. I think he would laugh. He'd get a good laugh, and he'd go, I gotta get down there and get myself one of those corn dogs with some ketchup.
All right, that will help distract from his multi-touchdown loss.
What are you doing?
What do you think the score is going to be? Didn't you say that the Cowboys were going to lose by 17 points?
That is multiple touchdowns.
All right, there you go. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, you can keep those votes coming in. Let's do NFL overreaction or reality. Gentlemen, I can't remember if I asked this question. I don't think I did. Overreaction or reality, a huge amount of fans will be cheering Micah on Sunday night.
I think they will. And it's kind of...
Would you?
Jerry, I'm not... Like, I'm laundry, not player.
Okay.
I cheer for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And I liked Micah a lot. There's just... I was never attached to him.
Yeah.
I'm attached to Luka. You know, that's the difference for me in this. I got attached to that dude because obviously there was a lot of success there too. I'm attached to Corey Seager because we won a World Series. So that
sure.
I'm attached to Adolis because of that. I never really got attached to Micah in that same way. So I wouldn't because I'm rooting for the Cowboys. But as I mentioned to Jerry this morning, and I expected him to kind of do the look, we don't care who's in our stadium because it's only 7% of people have ever been in stadiums before.
Right.
But that whole, he didn't go that direction with it. This could be a split crowd. Packers fans travel. Cowboys fans are down on this team right now, already 3 games into the season. They're looking to sell tickets on this one. And they know Packers fans are willing to pay big money to go see Micah do something special against the Dallas Cowboys. So I think this could definitely be a favorable crowd for the Green Bay Packers. So it's going to sound like people are cheering, but it's probably going to be more Packers fans cheering for Micah out there.
So can I ask a quick question about that? And I want to get your opinion as well. I frequently disagree with Jerry Jones whenever we interview him. But one thing we were talking about today is, you know, there have been lots of players who've been here and come back before. Like, I know Micah was all pro, and he was excellent. But what did we do with him? So, like, I don't understand. Like, at least with Luka, I got it. Like, hey, not only was he first-team All-NBA, we made it to the finals. We didn't go anywhere with this player. Why are people acting like that's the difference between this and, like, we'd be 3-0 undoubtedly at this point?
Does it not feel like, though, that the most anger was towards Jerry for not trading him sooner and, you know, setting up the team for success, having picks during the draft? That seems like where most people's anger was. Not at that they traded Micah and they were hurt by that, but a lot of people, I think, in the national media, their whole topic was, you don't trade this kind of player. Yeah, like, nobody trades this kind of player. But as Nico said, fortune does favor the bold.
I mean, look, if you also figured out a way that we got the number one pick, I'd be in on this. But I said this at the time, and I still believe it, is like, good for them for 3 games. I think that the Packers will end up regretting this trade and the contract extension that they gave Micah Parsons. Alec, good amount of fans will be cheering Mike on Sunday night. Overreaction or reality?
Reality, I think that there's a lot of people that are still bitter about how the whole thing went in favor of the player. And again, you're going to have to wait years to see what the full consequences and results of the trade are. So some people are still going to be bitter. But to Corey's point, That's a fan base that travels very well in Green Bay, so it might not even be Cowboy fans that are making all the upset there. It might be some green jerseys out there that are making a lot of noise. So I think he's going to get more cheers than anything.
Alec, I have a bonus question just for you.
No,
overreaction
no.
or reality? Corey has appendicitis.
Oh!
He is very concerned that his appendix might burst. I don't know if we'll have to cut him open and what? Throw it out in the air so it explodes away from the people or what
idea.
We need to do. Is that it? Not? Is that not what you were thinking?
No.
You don't think I need to, like, clear no. and just throw it out? Like, I have to run out the front door of the Bueno and just throw it in the air?
Just throw him in the back of the Bueno truck and
yeah.
get him to the hospital.
Okay.
I'll say it was a reality moments ago, all right? Sometime this morning I was doing shoulder workout, and then somewhere in that area kind of felt a tug, and it's been kind of a dull pain all day. And I'm wondering, maybe it was more hernia or groin, you know, something like that. But I was like, oh, where is your appendix? And then everybody was pointing to where it hurts. So I'm a little concerned about that. But maybe my appendix is in a different spot.
Okay.
Huh.
Now back to – yay! You don't know how Corey's body works.
We're not going to just skip over that.
All right, what – let me tell you, okay.
Have you ever been inside my body?
Oh, dear God.
Thank you for that. That's, I'm,
the
I'm
answer's
just,
no, Alex.
I'm just going to play.
Absolutely no.
No, I'm just going to play this.
You know Corey.
So.
Thanks, Bruce Bochy.
NFL overreaction or reality. It's still early, but fair for the Falcons to be concerned about Michael Penix.
Yeah, absolutely. You invested a lot in Kirk Cousins and then turned
Whoops.
Away from him.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money that nobody else wants either.
Man, they really don't.
Nobody else wants to give up that many picks that you're demanding for him and take on his contract. So the success of Penix really is because I know you can bring Kirk Cousins back. He's not going to make a big deal out of it. He's an ultimate team player kind of guy. He really is. But you want Penix to succeed because you don't want to have to turn back to him for one.
Right.
Because he's also not the future of your team. Penix really is the future there. And so you really, yeah, I would be worried about it right now. And I got to get him right.
Now, Alec, I can throw some stats out there as well. 6 starts in 8 games for Michael Penix. During that time, he's completed 58.3% of his passes with 4 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. That's a passer rating of 75.2. The only regular starting quarterback lower than 79.4 last season was Anthony Richardson.
Oh!
And Anthony Richardson was also the only starter to complete less than 60% of his passes. By the way, think about that. One starter completed less than 60% of his passes.
That is...
So...
What a league this
I
is.
I know. The question goes
so we should
to
be,
you.
Hold on. We shouldn't be upset about the way the Cowboys are giving up passing yards. Then.
Yeah.
Everybody's completing passes.
Yeah, it's a passing league. What's the big deal? So, Alec, with that in mind, it is fair for Falcons fans and ownership to be concerned about Michael Penix.
Reality, because that's a quarterback that I think they had to play quicker than they wanted to play him and start NFL games. I know you draft him inside the top 10, so everybody expects, okay, that guy can play right now. But that was never the plan. They gave the big money contract to Kirk Cousins for a reason. They thought they were going to get at least a full season to see maybe we have something going here. Maybe we can make this playoff push before we reset financially and reset in terms of age around the team. No, they had to force him in a little bit quicker than they wanted to, and I think that some of the results you're going to get, it's totally fair to be nervous about a young quarterback that was thrust into a position that he might not have been ready for.
I think you guys might be on the same page on this next one, but let's check. Overreaction or reality, Emeka Ebuka is going to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year. He is on pace for 79 catches for 1,026 yards and 17 touchdowns.
Wow, that is impressive. Look, man, with Mike Evans being out and, you know, Baker being the key to that offense the way that he is, they rely – that is one of those teams that you look at and you go, oh, it starts with Baker no matter what.
Right.
There are other teams
right.
where you're like, oh, and Bucky Irving, they have some good running backs there
yeah.
too, but it starts with him for sure. And this is one of those receivers, watching him on film, you were like, man, he might not be the fastest. He might not be the strongest, But that dude knows how he knows this game. Dude, go back to the championship game at Ohio State when he was like, hey, this route right here, they're not doing it. And then all of a sudden he's scoring a touchdown on it. This dude knows the game so well, and he plays it at a very high level.
Alec, what say you?
I'm going to go reality. I really like Emeka Okwuka.
You sound sad about that.
Because I often think, okay, you know, it's a offensive award quarterback. Easy. You know, and I also thought Ashton Jeanty is going to light the world on fire in his first year. He hasn't done that yet. So, yeah, I'm kind of like, dang. It feels wrong to say, yeah, the rookie wide receiver that people knew was talented, but didn't really know he was going to have this much of an impact early on, is going to win the award when it's typically going to the more marquee draft pick. But the production's there. This guy is unreal. And Baker Mayfield is the perfect quarterback, yes, in 2025 for him to be playing with right now.
Now, Derek Holland, if he's still listening, might weigh in on this. Overreaction or reality, Dylan Gabriel will be the Browns starter in the next month. I know Shador said
it's a reality.
Should be his job.
I think it's a reality. I do think that Stefanski he's kind of in a weird place right now where his job could be at stake. So that's why he was going with the veteran. A lot of coaches do that. You'll see that frequently.
Sure.
If I have any question marks on my job, I'm going to go with a veteran because there's no way I can get a rookie and deal with his mistakes and have that fall on me.
Until week four. And then you'll switch the quarterback.
Yeah, and then that starts to happen for a Dable. So I do think at some point Dylan Gabriel is going to be the starter for this Cleveland Browns team. Their defense is good.
Absolutely.
And they need to capitalize on that in some way, and they can't do that with Flacco right now.
Alec?
Reality, you don't progress with the veteran quarterback that is average or below average at this point in their career. It's kind of like what the Falcons did with Kirk Cousins. They realized this doesn't help us in any way by continuing to play him. I think they're going to get to that point, and they're going to say, we may as well take a look at one of the 15 other quarterbacks we have on the roster at the moment, and Dylan Gabriel seems to be the guy in line, and that makes the most sense to get those reps.
One more for you. Raheem Morris said that Bijan Robinson is the best player in football without a doubt. Overreaction or reality, Bijan Robinson is the best player in football.
I can't say without a doubt because Saquon Barkley just was voted by the entire league as the best player in football. Where was Bijan Robinson on that list? Do you remember? Was he in the top 10?
I do not remember.
So the league feels that Barkley definitely still is the best football player. Myles Garrett is would you want to think about this for a second? Would you want to see Myles Garrett get a handoff from Joe Flacco and come running at you?
Oh yeah.
No,
as
come
a
running
fan.
At you.
No.
So
no.
I think I could put Myles Garrett.
I would just be like, gig him, and then he'd run me over.
I could see Myles Garrett being great on both sides of the ball if he really wanted to be. So I think there are other people, but man, Bijan Robinson has turned out to be everything, Kevin, that you said he would be. There were a lot of people that were very high on him. We were trying to figure out how the Cowboys could make trades to get up and get him, and he has turned out to be everything that we thought he would.
Alec, what say you?
Corey, I can say without a doubt that is an overreaction because simply to what you said, Myles Garrett exists. He still plays football. He's still alive. He's still healthy. And he's still dominating every offense that he sees line up in front of him. It's nothing against Bijan Robinson, but it's everything to give Myles Garrett his flowers because he is absolutely insane at what he does.
Did he just call him Bijan?
Yes, he did.
That's the correct pronunciation.
Oh, my gosh.
This is insane to me. See, this is weird because Trayvon Diggs told me his name was Trevon. And then everybody's ever since then has said Trayvon, and I've been like, no, he said this to me. So I just go with Trayvon.
Kind of sounds like you didn't stand on your
conviction. Yeah, I gave in to peer pressure on
that one. Well, of all the things you're going to give into peer pressure for, I feel like saying someone's name slightly different is probably not so bad. Mm. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
What about drugs?
Okay, don't do drugs.
All right.
Coming up next, man, that caught a lot of people's attention. Do Taco Bell instead. Come on down, 5748.
Bueno. Yeah, for sure.
Well, it took a few weeks, Alec. I hope you've already taken me off the air because...
Coming up next, we'll talk with Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com.
Not me, I won't.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.